Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour is a listener suggestion, actually. You know how much we'd love to talk about books, and we just posted on Facebook that we were going to speak with the columnist of Dear Book Lover in the Wall Street Journal, and that'd be a lot of people, but many people wrote and said, you got to talk about this book, you got to talk about that book. I have books I want to talk about. Cynthia is going to talk about books. We love talking about books and interviewing authors. Cynthia Crossan will be joining us momentarily, who is the Wall Street Journal columnist for Dear Book Lover. So that's coming up in just one moment, and we are going to have some fun. That's the thing about public radio, to talk about books. Just think of how incredibly valuable that is. What a treasure it is to have a place on the radio where people read books on the air, for heaven's sake. Here's to that, and talk about books. It's just good. Well, we're in our Wisconsin Public Radio winter membership drive, and we're here to ask for you to invest just 3 minutes of time in your own future, in your future discussion of books. Our goal is to ensure that all of the programs that you value, including this one, are here on Wisconsin Public Radio when you want them. And a contribution of any amount will do just that. Make your gift now. And this is a very important hour. Lisa will tell you why in a moment. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi. And
yes, this is a very special hour for a very simple reason. We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now, up to $5,000.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a lot. This generous challenge is offered by a longtime supporter from Madison. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today. So simply, your pledge right now is doubled. Plain and simple.
Great.
So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do want to thank everybody who pledged. We did make our goal last hour. We had 28 callers. We needed 25 to make the goal, and it was an important hour to do that. So
that's great.
From the bottom of my heart, I thank you. It was important. And great, we have this dollar-for-dollar match right now, so things are moving along here. In just a moment, Cynthia Crossan will join us. She is the Wall Street Journal columnist for Dear Book Lover, and you'll have a chance to speak with her as well. And she's going to talk about just all kinds of things. There are books that she absolutely loves and authors she'll read everything that they ever wrote. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of your favorite books, my favorite books. We'll talk books in a moment. And discussions like this only happen in places like the program that you're listening to on the Ideas Network, and they are possible, quite frankly, because of your financial support. Please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is easy. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. And a dollar or two a week adds up to about $50 to $100 for the year. And all year long, you'll benefit from this program and all of the WPR programs that you love. So make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Goodness, think about all the issues that you've heard discussed on the Ideas Network in the past year. There are so many issues, and all of the conversations were possible because of listener support. Make your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and do it for all that you have learned in the past year on Wisconsin Public Radio.
And remember, this is a very special hour because we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000, and it's in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, a longtime supporter from Madison will donate an additional dollar. It's simply their way of encouraging you to support the program right now. So double the buying power of your pledge by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And just, we've been talking about this a lot this morning, but when you do pledge $120 or more, you can choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift. It's a thank you gift that will provide 40 meals to those who are facing hunger in your area. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're going to talk about books now. I love conversations about books. It's one of the, when you gather with your friends and go to a coffee shop or go to somebody's house, one of the things I always am talking about is, what are you reading right now? And because of the nature of what I do, I'm always reading something right now. We have a lot of authors on this program. Chrissy Peace is also a great reader, and she's going to be talking about the books that she's reading a little bit later on. Rhonda, of course, a librarian, always reading a great deal. And we had so many responses just to our Facebook page yesterday of what some listeners are reading, and they want me to discuss those with Cynthia. So we will do that. And welcome your phone calls on air, because we're talking books. We're talking books. That on-air number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Cynthia Crossan writes the weekly advice column, Dear Book Lover, for the Wall Street Journal Friday weekend section. She's worked at the journal since 1983. She's covered financial markets, publishing, marketing, real estate, was editor of the Marketplace section for 3 years. She is the author of two nonfiction books, Tainted Truth and The Rich and How They Got That Way. She's a graduate of McAllister College. And we have much to talk about with her, including books that have been banned and how it is that we have books that have been challenged. A few of her favorite adult books we will talk about. Nonfiction authors who are so great to read, you would read anything they wrote. Somebody asked her that question in a column a few weeks ago. She says she's not a slave to any nonfiction writers the way she is to some novelists. It's probably true for most of us. So, well, at any rate, let's get rolling. Let's talk books. Cynthia, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Kathleen, it's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. So how do you get these questions? Do you get tons of them? Because some of them are just, they must make your jaw drop. Whoa, somebody wants to know this?
Oh, it's a marvelous variety of questions I get. I get some, and obviously I can't answer even a fraction of the ones I get.
Right.
And the ones that I do answer, I have to have something to say about them. I mean, I got one saying, you know, what's your favorite fiction about Bolivia?
Oh my gosh!
You know, and I couldn't even name one book about Bolivia, but I get quite a few questions, and it really is encouraging because it makes me realize how many really devoted readers there are out there in this time when everybody says, you know, nobody reads anymore, and in fact, a lot of people read.
Yeah. What about young people? Do you have statistics on that? We're in a family that reads all the time, except that we have a hard time getting our children reading as much as we do. I worry about that because I can't imagine a life without heavy-duty reading.
I think that some kids are never going to be readers, and that's always been true. And I think obviously there are a lot more. There's a lot more competition for their time than there used to be. But I hear from young people who have started reading later in life, so I don't despair of kids not reading when they're in their teens, for example, because I think some people do come to books when their lives are a little more settled down.
I felt as though I loved you right away when I read that one of the books that you recently read is actually one of my favorite all-time books, too. And I'm a huge Lincoln fan, and we took a trip to Springfield with listeners. And what are you reading or just recently read? But Lincoln's Virtues by William Lee Miller, who I think it's one of the best books ever on Lincoln. And you also talk about what you learned about Lincoln's reading habits from Miller's fabulous book.
Yeah, that's such a wonderful book. It's you think you know everything about Lincoln because it's been drilled into you in all your history classes, and but this was a whole fresh way of looking at him. And I was especially fascinated about his boyhood. He was quite poor and worked on his parents' farm, you know, just from literally from dawn to dark. And he always had a book with him. Everybody always remembered that he had a book, and he would get himself into these very strange, convoluted physical positions so he could read. But he didn't have access to very many books. He had to read the same books again and again and again. And I think that's something that now that we have access to so many books. It's something we don't do as much as it is to read the same book 25 times.
Yeah. What about this compulsion we have, and I have this, you must have it as well, that there are books that you think that you ought to read. You've got to get to them. You almost feel this pressure to get to those books, be they classics or whatever.
It's terrible.
I know
exactly what you mean. Although I did something a few years ago, I felt woefully inadequate to be writing about books, having never read War and Peace. So I set it as my task for a summer, and I actually what I did was I committed myself to 100 pages a day. It's about 1,000 pages. And after I read those 100 pages, then I could read anything else I wanted, or I could read more than my 100 pages. But it was like giving myself homework. And actually, it worked out very well. I got through, you know, it sort of took the dread of launching into this huge, complicated book out, because I sort of paced myself and then let myself read around it if I wanted to.
I was thinking about books that we read in high school for some reason, and maybe it was because of the death of J.D. Salinger, Catcher in the Rye. At what point do you remember all those classics that you read in high school? Are they wasted on the young, or are they important? I guess I'm wondering about books that you need to read so that you will have a basis of shared knowledge, and so much of what's important to read is referenced later on, no matter what your profession is. At what age should we start those, and do you think we do a pretty good job of selecting them?
You know, I'm of two minds about this. I remember so vividly one of the worst Sunday afternoons of my life in high school, and I was such a terrible procrastinator about my homework, and I had to read Red Badge of Courage on a Sunday afternoon, and it was just, it couldn't have been drearier, and I've sort of had that in the back of my mind when I think about what classics kids have to read, because, I mean, The Scarlet Letter is another example. It's just very, very tough reading. In fact, I was reading a required summer reading list for high school kids, and there was a school that was requiring kids to read Moby Dick over the summer vacation. I thought, oh, my God, those poor children. On the other hand, you need to have read those books at some point for exactly the reason, because you want to have a shared cultural conversation. And when somebody says, you know, the Scarlet Letter, or, you know, the Red A or whatever, you want to know what they're talking about. And I think maybe we force feed kids a little bit too early on some of that tough stuff, and it can turn them against reading. I think college is kind of the perfect time for the classics.
I must admit to, and here I am admitting it on the radio, to never having read Moby Dick.
Uh-oh. 100 pages a day.
Uh-oh. Do you think that I need to before I pass from this earth? No, seriously, do you?
No. Seriously,
you don't.
I don't.
Okay. Thank
no.
you.
I mean, well, you know who Ahab is. I mean,
right.
you know the basic story.
Okay, good.
I let you off the hook on
Thank
that
you.
One.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Some of your callers are probably pretty unhappy about that answer, but...
Yeah, it's okay. So my favorite book in the last couple of weeks, just because so few people knew about her and it was wonderful to bring her to the forefront, was the book about Frances Perkins. I don't know if you've read it, but you will love it, I'm sure. The woman behind the New Deal, Frances Perkins, Kristen Downey's book.
She's no, I haven't
from the
read it.
Washington Post. I think you will love it. It's very well written. And my gosh, this woman who some people have no idea who she was really fashioned the whole New Deal. It's an incredible story.
I have not read it. I know who she is, and I'm writing it right down on my my ever expanding list of books that must be read.
I think you'll really like it. What are you reading? What are you liking?
What I'm reading right now is a book of short stories called American Salvage by Bonnie Jo Campbell. It was a finalist for the National Book Award. I'd never heard of it until that, and I do tend to keep my eye on book prizes and what are the leading contenders. And it's a really interesting collection because it's about blue collar and even more poor working class people, you know, in small towns, meth addicts, a lot of violence, a lot of domestic violence. It's kind of a world that you don't read that much in fiction, or at least I don't. And it's really a window into a whole kind of society that I'm completely alien from.
There's something to be said for short stories and essays, I think, because sometimes we're working all day or you've got a book with you and you've got a few minutes here or there and you can get in a short story before you fall asleep.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love short stories in audio because I don't have a long trip. Most of my car trips are kind of, you know, 6 miles to the grocery store, and I can get in a whole short story in that time. I just read another short story collection that I really liked called, it's Amy Bloom's latest, called Where the God of Love Hangs Out. And I have never really gotten into short stories until recently because I like the flow of a novel and I like immersing myself in a whole world and sort of cuddling into the world. But recently I started reading short stories and I'm really enjoying them a lot.
Let's go to some phone calls. We're starting with Sherry from Two Harbors, Minnesota. Hi.
Yes, hello. Hello.
Hi, Sherry.
I am in the process of culling my books, so I have three recommendations. One is any of the Ross Thomas books. The second is the Friday Night Knitting Club. It's excellent.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, and the third is by Elliot Patterson. He writes about the crushing of Tibet by China. It's just fascinating.
And what was the first one you were saying, Sherry?
The first one was any of the Ross Thomas books.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with any of those, so this is very helpful.
Oh, well, I think you'd enjoy any of them.
Are they all nonfiction?
They're all fiction.
They're all fiction. Oh, I'm sorry. When you were talking about the Tibetan, somehow I got the feeling that was nonfiction.
But it reads like it's nonfiction.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Somebody was talking about that Friday Night Knitting Club recently.
Oh, that is a fabulous book.
Was it?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I think there's a sequel, is there not?
I believe she has just come out with a new one, yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is. But Elliot Patterson on Tibet, he's an Edgar Award winner. He's a fabulous writer.
Okay, I'm putting these down, too.
The pressure's going to build on you.
No,
I'm
really.
Sorry, Cynthia,
yeah.
During the course of the hour. Here's one that somebody sent on Facebook. It sounds interesting. Maybe you know about it. Mark Twain, Man in White, The Grand Adventures of His Final Years by Michael Sheldon. These years were marked with tragedy, but they were no match for Twain's resilience and, above all, his sharp wit. His decision after the deaths of so many loved ones to shuck the black clothes forever as a metaphor for the author's vigor, dynamism, and incredibly imaginative showmanship. He knew exactly how he wanted to be remembered. That sounds like a good one, huh?
That sounds absolutely wonderful. And biography is something I'm also getting more interested in. I just read a wonderful biography of Rudyard Kipling, about whom I knew virtually nothing except, you know, his sort of stories for children. And it was just a real eye-opener about his world. But also, I am a major fan of Mark Twain's writing. So,
right.
And he's obviously a very interesting person in himself and, as we all know, had a wonderful, wonderful sense of humor and then extraordinary tragedies in his life. So I can imagine that would be a wonderful
yes.
book.
All right. We both got it on our list.
Yeah.
And what got you going on Rudyard Kipling?
A reader.
Really?
A reader wrote to me and said, have you ever read this book? About this biography, and he said, I guarantee you'll love it. And I'm very interested in English colonialism in India and that whole period, and which is where Rudyard Kipling grew up, and his father was worked for the English government, and he was Indian. But and so it was partly a portrait of that time and place that intrigued me.
Sherry, thanks so much for your great recommendations. Neil is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Real well.
Good.
Real well. Enjoy the program. I heard a mention of historical novels in the lead into the show, and I just wanted to make a recommendation of one that had been on my list for a long time, and wanted to ask the guest if she might want to comment on it as well.
Sure.
It's Giuseppe di Lampedusa, The Leopard, set 19th century Sicily, but really has, I think, elements of universal interest, and the translation to English is very well done, I think. And and I read it once and reread it and then reread it a third time.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm just wondering if your guest would care to comment on it.
I actually just read that, maybe 3 years ago, and I wrote a column on it. I used to have an online column in the journal called Read Back, where I would read books that had been published 10 to 1,000 years ago and review them as though they were modern books. And I did one on The Leopard, and it's a fantastic portrait of a person and story, and also it's one of those books, and I think the caller, Neil, will agree, that you can smell the smells and, you know, feel the air. It is such a transporting book back into that time and place. I agree, it's an extraordinary book.
Yeah, extraordinarily novelist's eye for detail and insight. And actually, I think I recall that column. As a matter of fact, that might have been one of the things that put it on my to-read list.
Oh.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Neil mentioned having read that three times. Are there books that you have read three times or four times?
You know, I used to do that a lot more when I was a kid. I think that's something kids do more. I have read Pride and Prejudice multiple times. Gosh, I don't know if there are many. When I was in high school mostly, I've read Rebecca, you know, probably 50 times by Daphne du Maurier. And now I'm so, and Kathleen, you must feel the same way. There's so many books on my desk,
right,
and so many books that people tell me about. And, you know, in the course of this time already, we've gotten, you know, 5 recommendations that sound great. And so I think, oh, I can't go back and read it.
Yeah, it's like going on vacation the same place, and I love that too, but there are so many places to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a whole, the brain activity when you read a book a second time is very different from when you read the book the first time. And in some ways, that's what makes it interesting, because you're not reading for plot. You're not reading to find out what happens or whodunit, or you're much more alert to the craft and to the nuances and to the details. And I think that does make it worth reading, rereading. But I just can't bring myself to do it.
Yeah. Thanks, Neil, for your call. We go next to our number, by the way, is 800-486-8655. Cynthia Crossan is our guest. She writes the weekly advice column, Dear Book Lover, for the Wall Street Journal. Frank from Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
I would admit to you and your guest that I read around.
You read around.
Yes, and there's a real problem right now. There's an incredible number of books about the financial crash and how we got there. And
yes,
rather than refer to those, there was an extremely fine book, which was actually Margaret Atwood's Massey lecture called Debt. And it was, produced this before the crash, and it was about the sort of moral implications of debt and a culture that accumulates them.
Hmm.
And it's a great read, and for those who can download, it's a great listen too.
Hmm.
She commits the sin of laughing at her own jokes, but you can avoid that by reading the text. And there are a number of other books not prescient like that, but that have to do with the implications of money and obsession with it. And one of them is and a previous mania in the last century, actually, James Buchan's Frozen Desire. Is an amazing read. And there's a fascinating personal recollection of the psychology of money by Montague Dawn called The Prickety Bush, or Prickety Bush, we would say, in North America.
Hmm.
And I would still, for anyone who hasn't, Margaret Atwood's Debt might be revealing.
Well,
and
thank you, Frank.
Thanks for your guest.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks for your calls, as always. Those are good suggestions, Cynthia.
Very good suggestions. And I've only read an excerpt of that Margaret Atwood's book, but she is one of those authors who pretty much the minute her book appears in the bookstore, I'm there plunking down my $25. She's just got an amazing imagination. And I saw her once at a, this is Margaret Atwood, saw her once at a literary festival. She is one smart cookie. So I without having read the whole book, I suspect that Frank is right and it's well worth it.
It's always good to read smart people, too, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Because it doesn't really matter what they're writing about, because you just want to follow them wherever they go.
Righto. We're going to welcome more phone calls. Cynthia Crossan is our guest this hour. She is she's been a reporter at the Wall Street Journal for 27 years. This is a listener suggestion. You're such good listeners. She is the author of the weekly Dear Book Lover column for the Wall Street Journal Weekend, and she's here to talk about books, one of our favorite topics. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join the conversation. And we are in our Wisconsin winter membership drive. You count, of course, on Wisconsin Public Radio to talk about all of the issues that matter to you. You know, these are just priceless conversations. Aren't they fun? They're just, you know, you got your pen and paper, you're writing things down, you're going to read. You've read something that she's read, and then it just is exciting. It's exciting. We count on you to keep these discussions on the air. Make a gift of any amount right now and help us to pay for the programs that you depend on. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Lisa Nalbandian joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee. Hello again, Lisa.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Lisa.
And we still have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000 in effect right now. And it's offered by a longtime supporter from Madison. So your gift of $50 turns into $100.
All right.
And $100 turns into $200. I think you get the idea. So take advantage of this match and give Wisconsin Public Radio even more money to pay for programs like this one. Get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now. Give as generously as you can, especially this hour, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can support Wisconsin Public Radio for a song. It's right for less money than you're probably spending to download songs from iTunes this year. You can make a big difference right here at WPR. Think about it. If you download a song a week from iTunes, you're spending approximately $52 a year. And that's about what typical first-time donor gives to WPR. Because you value us as much as you value iTunes, make your first ever gift of a dollar a week at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every single day. You get value, obviously, from this program, but also Joy Cardine, which is on right before, coming up in just a few minutes, Larry Mueller on the weekends, Zorba Pastor. All of these programs and many others you've just become to rely on. Wisconsin Public Radio gives you a window on the world like no other. So simply support the exciting mix of programs you enjoy on this station with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are several ways to pay for your pledge. One of them by monthly installments directly from your bank account. Once it's set up, you don't have to think about it again. It's also a great way to be a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Saves paper, pretty easy. We'll help you get started. And when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you pledge $120 or more, you can choose Food for 40 as your thank you gift. This thank you gift will provide 40 meals to those facing hunger right in your area. Pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And we've had a lot of people pledge. Thanks to all of you who have pledged. Patricia from Wisconsin Dells says WPR is the finest radio station in Wisconsin with selections from the ridiculous to the sublime. WPR has something for everyone. Mary from Wallace, Michigan says WPR keeps me company throughout the day. It does keep you company, doesn't it? Thanks for being there. And just remember, you know, we up to $5,000, we got a for every dollar you pledge, somebody else will pledge a dollar.
Yep.
Which is a pretty good deal here. So please call with your pledge this hour. It's one of those hours that make a difference.
It does.
Yeah, it does. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
We're talking books this hour. One of our favorite topics, Cynthia Crossan, who writes a weekly advice column, Dear Book Lover, for the Wall Street Journal Friday weekend section, is with us, and we're taking your phone calls. We go next to Josh from Boscobel. Hi, Josh.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My recommendation is The Lamb. I believe it's by Christopher Moore. It's a book I've read at least four times and probably going to read it some more after I get it back from the people at my church that are reading it right now.
And why do you like it?
Well, it's called The Lamb, The Gospel According to Biff, and it fills in Jesus' life that you don't see in the Bible. And it's very well thought out. Doesn't contradict nothing, but is extremely funny. And very subtle in parts, but a very, very good book.
Cynthia.
You know, he's funny, right?
Yes, he said he was.
He writes funny books. I have not read any of him. I know he's very, very popular and that he writes funny books, and which is a category that I love. So it's odd that I haven't read any of his, because I really think that it's one of the big gaps in modern publishing is humor. And I'm always shocked when I go into bookstores to their humor section and see how pathetic are compared, especially compared when I go to bookstores in London, which is, you know, bookstore central. Their humor sections are a lot more robust than ours. So I'm glad you've reminded me of Christopher Moore.
Well, maybe we're the people who tell jokes and the British have to read jokes. Do you think? I don't know.
I think they have a history of humor writing, you know, like Wodehouse, and in a way that I don't think. I mean, of course, we do have Mark Twain, who we were talking about before, but I'm not sure we have that kind of humor history that they have that they can build on.
Thanks, Josh, for your call. Wayne from Two Rivers. Hi, Wayne.
Hi.
Hi.
The best thing I've read in the last couple of months was Geraldine Brooks's People of the Book. I'm not sure if you ever read it, but it's just fantastic. About a month and a half ago, I was very depressed. One of my favorite authors, fiction authors, died, Robert B. Parker.
Mm-hmm.
He never took himself seriously, which was fantastic. And he and his sidekick, Hawk, were always reading something that I picked up and read. And I see that the Blues from the Delta by William Ferris was just reissued in paperback. It's a non-fiction thing. Bill Ferris is a professor at Duke, and he had gone back home down to the Delta and was interviewing some of these contemporary musicians. And Joy Cardine gave me an idea of a book, which I am reading now, and it's very hard, but it's Sean Carroll's From Eternity to Here, An Ultimate Quest for the Theory of Time. But the Geraldine Brooks, you got to read it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I have that sitting at the foot of my stair. Of course, I have books sitting at the foot of a lot of stairs in the house. But I've got that book, The People of the Book. Have you read that?
No, you know, same. I've got that, too.
Do
and
you?
I had read her her earlier book, I think it's called The Year of Wonder, Year of Wonders.
Oh.
It's a historical novel set in England during the plague, and it's just fascinating for a look at that period, too. But there again, that's a book that demands to be read.
Mm-hmm. We're asked this about nonfiction authors, and you say that you're not a slave to nonfiction writers the way that you are to some novelists. But those writers, be they nonfiction or probably fiction writers, you would read anything they ever wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Who's on that list?
Well, I must say for nonfiction that I do pretty much try to read everything that Bill Bryson writes.
Oh, yes. He's a very interesting guy.
He's a very interesting guy, and he's funny, but he's also thoughtful, and he's a wonderful writer. For fiction, I have probably eight or ten that I'm sort of always looking for their books and impatient, snapping my fingers, wondering when the next one is going to come out. One of them is an English writer who's not that well known in the United States named William Boyd. And he's just a marvelous storyteller and writer, and writes some historical fiction and also some modern fiction. And Andrea Barrett, I love. She wrote Voyage of the Narwhal. I read anything by her. T.C. Boyle, I think he's an underappreciated American writer who I read everything he writes. Margot Livesey, another English author, I read everything. Sarah Waters, I read everything she writes. These are people, these are writers who I literally have to sometimes go and see when their last book was published so I can figure out when their next one is going to come out.
Isn't that great? And then sometimes you have to wait a while and you keep thinking, oh, come on.
Come on, get to it. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's a bad feeling and a good feeling.
Well, you really, in your heart of hearts, if you're a serious reader, don't want your authors racing, because all too often I read a book and I think, oh, too bad he or she should have done one more draft. So I do try to be patient, because I know that there will be a payoff at the end.
Right. Thanks, Wayne, for your call. Kay from Maguanago. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Kay.
I wanted to recommend a new author. Her name is Kathy Marie Buchanan, and she wrote On the Day the Fall Stood Still. It's sort of historical fiction with some environmental aspects about Niagara Falls. It's a really good read, and she came to the library in Eagle and talked with us. She's a young woman and real interested in Niagara Falls. So I'd like to recommend that. And the other one is Peter...
What's that?
Peter Matheson. He wrote Shadow Country. It's all about Florida. It takes a while to read it, but he won a big prize for that book.
Oh.
So those are my two.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call.
Yeah, he won the National Book Award for that. It's a trilogy. I think the first one is called Shadow Country, Killing Mr. Watson, and then I can't remember what the other two are. But he wrote them some number of years ago, and then just recently, a year or two ago, rewrote all three of the trilogy and combined them into one volume, which is called Shadow Country, and won a National Book Award for it. And it is one of those books that it's pretty demanding reading. It's not a quick read by any means, but it's an extraordinary story, and it's the Florida Everglades in the beginning of the 20th century, which was a pretty a lawless land and group of people, and it's for atmospherics. It doesn't get much better than that.
Mm. Cynthia Crossan, who writes the weekly column Dear Book Lover for the Wall Street Journal Friday Weekend Section, is our guest. She's a reporter, editor, has been at the paper for a long time, 27 years, I believe. And we're talking about books, one of my favorite kinds of conversations ever. Doesn't get any better than this, ever. So let's welcome more phone calls. We also have a ton of suggestions on Facebook. So if we don't get to all of your suggestions, you may want to post on Facebook, or you may want to look at our WPR community that has already posted on Facebook to get reading suggestions. That's just the Kathleen Dunn Show. And there will be, and there you can be as well. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I also want to remind you that we are in our winter pledge drive, and we would be very happy if you went to WPR.org or if you called 888-202-2552 to pledge, because everything we get up to $5,000 will be matched by a dedicated, devoted listener in Madison, and you may as well take advantage of that. So obviously, I'm not great at math, but your dollar then becomes $2. I got it. Chrissy Pease, I asked her to come in the studio because she's an avid reader as well. And we wanted to talk just a little bit about a show that she thought, and I'm stretching myself because I, you know, I need to learn about all kinds of things, a book that she has been reading. And the guest is on tomorrow. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi, Kathleen. Yeah, it probably sounds like I'm just trying to promote tomorrow's show.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Certainly. But actually, we will have Patti Smith on, and most people know her as a punk rock icon, and I'll be honest, like you, Kathleen, I wasn't a huge fan of her music, and I saw that she had a new memoir out, and it's called Just Kids. It's about her life and friendship with Robert Mapplethorpe, a very controversial photographer, and it's just an exquisite book. I mean, she's a poet, so it's fantastically crafted, but it's very personal and emotional. But then it's also just fun to hear about her encounters with her circle of friends that included people such as Allen Ginsberg and Gregory Corso and Janis Joplin. I mean, as a fan of, you know, that time period in New York City, she lived at the Chelsea Hotel with Robert Mapplethorpe. It's just stunning. And she will be our guest tomorrow at 10.
All right. Nice work. Yes. Thank you. Thanks very much. Have you read it, Cynthia?
No, I love her music, so I definitely want to read it. And it's also, I've seen it, and it's just got a great cover. So I've been drawn to it, but I have not read it yet.
Oh, just another one to add to the list, Cynthia.
Yeah.
Mark is next from Saukville. Hi, Mark.
Hello. I'd like to relate a story that happened to me a number of years ago about a book I read called The Indian Creek Chronicle by Peter Frum. I found it an interesting read, and I read it a couple of times, and then it suddenly dawned on me, a friend of mine whose son was not into reading had kind of a parallel interest in the items that were in that book. So I gave it to him, they gave it to his son to read, and the son started reading it and never put it down.
Hmm.
And for a boy who didn't like to read, it was quite interesting. Well, anyway, his father said it was because of that book that he got into reading more, because the interest paralleled in the book what he had.
Right. Is that what it takes frequently, is to just have the, you know, timing is everything, the right book at the right time? Cynthia?
Oh, I think so. And I also think that if you can capture, if you can exploit, so to speak, a kid's interest in a subject, a kid is very interested in baseball, get them a baseball book. I mean, I don't think there's any reason why kids have to be have to read, you know, sort of the classic school books if you can, you know, grab them into a book because they're interested in the subject. I think that is a way that you can turn kids into readers. Let them, I mean, I had a question from a reader saying, you know, she's very worried because her nephew only reads science fiction. And I think, let them read science fiction. That's, you know, what?
Sure.
Let them, that's great. A lot of parents would be thrilled to have that problem.
Yes, exactly. You have some advice. You know, I noticed John Munson, who's our manager from Superior, we all tend to be readers here, but sometimes you have, you know, 15 minutes between the activity you have to do, or you're on the train, or you're waiting in a supermarket line. I don't see this, quite frankly, as much as I used to, but I noticed that he was he had a book with him, and he was reading a book, and I thought, this is great. See, people ought to see this all over. You just carry a book with you. Some people do that, and maybe more people ought to.
I always have a book with me. I always have at least one book, because if I'm getting towards the end of a book, I need to have another one with me. And I have a big pocket. That's not huge, but it's big enough that I can tuck a book. Now, I don't take a big hardcover book that's going to weigh me down all day. But, you know, I'm sort of, I feel a little bit naked without a book, because I always feel that if I'm in a situation where I suddenly have to be still or wait, or and it might make me impatient, pull out my book. It's a very calming thing for me, just to know that I can read and get through this, you know, waiting for the doctor's office who's running 45 minutes late. Keep my blood pressure down if I can read while I'm waiting.
Yeah. Well, you were fun. Thank you so much for being with us, and I hope you'll join us again, Cynthia.
Kathleen, it was a great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our great pleasure. Cynthia Crossan, who writes the weekly advice column, Dear Book Lover, for the Wall Street Journal. It's in the Friday weekend section, and this particular hour, a listener request, and a fine one it was. It was a good hour, but then again, we love books. Please go to our Facebook page. We couldn't get to all of the suggestions. There have been many that have come through since yesterday, knowing we were going to talk about books. So just go to the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook and add to that list so that we can all become smarter and more kind. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, and Lisa Nalbandian is joining me again in our studio. As a regular listener to this program, you know that you will always hear something worthwhile, and it doesn't get much more worthwhile than great books. Today, we're asking you to put a value on this program. Your contribution to this program, of course, is vital. It is a huge part of what keeps us going. Support this program and everything else you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a gift in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello again, Lisa.
Hello, Kathleen. Well, this hour, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000. It's in effect right now. And it's a great time to pledge because for every dollar you give, a longtime supporter from Madison will donate an additional dollar.
Great.
It's simply their way of encouraging you to support this program. So double the buying power of your pledge right now by giving at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation with Cynthia Crossan about books, and now we ask you to take a few minutes to make this hour and many hours to come really possible. Put a value on the programming you enjoy every day and then make your pledge. And here's how you do it. Just a reminder, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today is one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time. Just give us your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep all of your personal information very, very safe. Your gift right now of $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount feels right to you, will become the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe your pledge is $50 or $100 or $500. Many of you are doing that $120 pledge, Food for 40, which you should ask about when you pledge, which will help feed people who are hungry in your area throughout Wisconsin. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount, and this is really the right hour to take care of giving because we also have that for every dollar given, there's a dollar that this very generous person who's matching the amount will be giving up to $5,000. So take advantage of that. That's pretty good for us, I'd say.
Oh, for sure. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And how this match works is we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,000 in effect this hour right now. And it's offered by a longtime supporter from Madison. So you pledge $50. Well, it's really $100. $100 turns into $200 because of this donor. You get the idea. So take advantage of that and give Wisconsin Public Radio even more money to pay for the programs like this one. So get your pledge matched dollar for dollar right now and give as generously as you can, especially this hour,
right, at
WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many services that we provide better than anybody, I think. The news updates that you hear and the news on the hour from National Public Radio really would be hard-pressed to think of any other organization that does news better, and particularly international news, too. They're just right on the stories here with reporters who know what they're doing, or the 60-minute talk shows that you hear. 60 minutes on books. Oh, my gosh, can you believe that? 60 minutes on books with the book editor columnist for the Wall Street Journal.
It's amazing. It's a gift.
It is an amazing thing. It is, Lisa. That is a good way to put it. It is a gift. They give us their time, and we have an audience, and you read books, and you're smart, and they all say that, and I say that, and we say it together, and we read, and it's just good. So call and pledge. WPR.org, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552.
Pledging at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 takes just a few minutes of your day. And in return, you'll get back so many hours of great programming. And if you can, consider a donation of $1,000. Your $1,000 contribution makes a significant difference in our budget and helps us bring you the talk, the news, the music, the stories, the entertainment that you count on from WPR. Your donation of any amount to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 helps ensure that our community and our state get the public radio we deserve.
You know, public radio is a great way to stay connected. You pass on ideas, stories, information. It helps you stay connected with your friends and family, with your world. Your donation keeps that connection going. So please make your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We ask that you make a contribution, but we also ask that you give an amount that's comfortable for you. Some give $60 a year, some give $1,000 or more. Whatever the amount, we'll use your contribution to help pay our bills, and in turn, you'll stay informed and entertained for the next year. So give now. Whatever amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just remember that we're at 36, and we'd like to get 75 calls. But use this hour to make your double your money, which is
no
great.
No kidding. Yeah.
You may as well do it this hour. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I love doing hours like this. I love talking about books, as you know, and you do too. And so it's been a great hour. Thank you very much, Lisa. And thanks to Chrissy Pease for producing this program, and to Chrissy as well for doing on-air production. Thank you, Chrissy. We'll be with you again tomorrow on the Ideas Network.